I was contemplating recently how often over the years, standing up here or down there, that I said the following, excuse me for a moment, that I said the following, quote, "I've told this story before. I cannot come up with that number, but let me open by saying this. I've told this story before." So Stacy and I, almost 34 years ago now, got married in Columbia, South Carolina at the St. Andrews Road Church of Christ. Our limousine afterward was late, so we sat, if my recollection, which may not be completely accurate, but I remember sitting in the lobby of the church, the foyer, with some friends, waiting on the limo, and then we started opening presents, I think, that had been brought, and then finally the limousine shows up, and it wasn't a great distance from the church building to Stacy's parents' house, which is where we were going to get changed and take off on our honeymoon. And I'll never forget, I don't have no space up here, that's why I'm holding this, by the way. We drive up into her parents' driveway, and her best friend group is at the house, which is totally out of order, right? Right, thank you, Avery. You just got married, you're leaving, and an exact quote from my wife: "What, pray tell, are you doing here?" But she said it a lot better than I just did. And it was a good question, and I don't remember if they actually had an answer, Mom. They shouldn't have been there. It's a good question, though, isn't it, to ask. And ask right now. What is it, 10:05, almost 10:06? Now it's 10:06, Jeff. 10:06 on Sunday morning, January 4, 2026, we're sitting here together at the West Metro Church of Christ building in a time of worship, and it's a valid question. What, pray tell, are you doing here? It's a question that needs to be thought about, I think. Now, there's some quick and easy answers, right? I mean, for many of us, maybe most of us, the first thing that jumped into mind, I'm a little surprised somebody didn't shout it out loud, is, "I'm here to worship God." And yes, you are. You're here to worship God. But there are a lot more potential answers to this, and this list is not complete. I couldn't think of everything, but there are people also here to celebrate what it is that God is doing in their lives and in their world. There are people here because it's the right thing to do. It's Sunday, dude. What do you think? This is what we do. I won't ask you to raise your hand, this next group, but some may be here to see a boyfriend or a girlfriend, or to find one. There are a lot worse places to do so. Some are here because it's what our family has always done. And that's not a bad thing at all. That's a good thing, obviously. Some are here because you're passing through. It is the tail end of the holiday season. You're passing through and you wanted to worship. You wanted to stop in. So you probably used your phone or your laptop or something like that. And you found West Metro and you wanted to go check it out before you headed back to wherever it is that you reside. Some may be here because you signed up, you volunteered to do something today. And it's never a good idea to not show on those days, especially the nursery, right? Some are here just because you want to be. That's good. Some probably don't even know why we're here today. Some would say, "Well, Mr. Ricky, I'm a kid, and my parents brought me because they're not going to leave me at home, especially on a Sunday." Maybe it's like Daryl, he scheduled lead singing. So, again, you signed up for something, right? Or like Dave, who just did a communion message, or Gary, who led a prayer, or Tom, who will do the same later. Maybe it's Austin, who did a wonderful job last week, by the way. Thank you again. Austin's thinking, well, I'm the youth minister. I better be here. Or Ashley, I'm the children's minister. I better be here. She's around here somewhere. There she is. Or maybe I'm the preacher, and I better be here. Or I'm a shepherd. I'm a church elder, and I better be here. Or maybe you're here because you want others to rejoice along with you in your triumphs, that God has blessed you lately. Again, in whatever form that might be taking in your life, and you really are extra compelled to be together with these people today because you want others to rejoice with you. Maybe you're here because you're hurting and you feel helpless and you just didn't know where else to go. So maybe you need to be in the presence of God, in the family of God, for any number of those reasons. Maybe you're a person today who needs the encouragement and the support of brothers and sisters in Christ. Maybe you're here to be an encouragement for your brothers and your sisters in Christ. Maybe you're here because you know, beyond the shadow of a doubt, correctly, by the way, that this is a family and we are a part of it. Maybe you're here because this is a significant part of what the body of Jesus Christ does. There's an old song, 1974, okay, in worship hymns, that's pretty old. I think we know pretty well. It's called God's Family. We're going to sing it together. And anytime we're worshiping together in song, and I know Daryl and Brian and Greg Kendall and Gary and Mark and Lewis, and I'm going to miss somebody, but our other worship leaders, they all understand, maybe better than we do, when we are singing songs of worship, we really need to be paying attention to what we're saying. We may not like the tune. You know, we may not like the melody. We may not like the harmony. We may be a terrible singer. We may be a wonderful singer and can easily get focused on the way things sound. But let's not miss out on the words that we sing. That's what it's really all about, isn't it? So as we sing God's Family together, three verses, we'll sing all three. Let's pay attention to what we're saying. It's a powerful message, steeped in scriptural truth.
We're part of the family. Amen.
If one member suffers, Paul wrote, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. To say that is profound is in itself a profound understatement. What Paul is describing, and it's not just in the letter, the first letter to the Corinthians, but he does it elsewhere in other ways. What Paul is describing is something of eternal consequence. He says, now you are the body of Christ. And there's a specific reason that we are the body of Christ. Those of us who have been immersed because of our belief in Jesus and the salvation that he brings through his death, burial, and resurrection as the Savior of the world, we have been added to God's family. God did that through Jesus. And Paul understood that, which again is why he says to Corinthian Christians, as immersed believers, you are now the body of Christ, and individually you're members of it. Therefore, and I'm taking this in reverse order in which he writes it, but there's a therefore, when one of us suffers, the way the body works is the whole body joins in that. Unfortunately, West Metro has had the opportunity, is a terrible word, but the opportunity to demonstrate that quite a bit over the last several weeks. But Paul also says when one member rejoices, whether it's a celebration of something, as I mentioned earlier, a possible reason that you're here today, or whether it's because you're hurting and you feel helpless and you're suffering, we are the family of God. We are the body of Christ. Ephesians 4, Paul again. It's all Paul this morning, by the way. Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and give no opportunity to the devil. Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands, so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. We talked about this in my class, I don't know if it was last week or the week before. We've been spending some time in Ephesians 4, but notice how Paul doesn't here just give do nots, but he gives godly Christ-like replacements for that behavior, and he does it so that the body can encourage and build up and help one another. So he doesn't just tell the thief to quit stealing, but he says, in place of that, labor, do honest work, so that you may have something for the purpose of sharing with another who is in need. Then he says, let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up. So instead of corrupting talk, Paul says language, words, speech that is upbuilding and encouraging as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. This is what the body of Christ does. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God by whom you are sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you along with all malice. Be kind to one another. It's what the body of Christ does. Tenderhearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. Therefore, chapter 5, be imitators of God as beloved children and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. So that's what the body of Christ does. Or finally in Romans, for by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For For as in one body, we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function. So we, though many, are one body in Christ and individually members one of another, having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us. Let us use them, if prophecy, in proportion to our faith, if service, in our serving, the one who teaches in his teaching, the one who exhorts in his exhortation, the one who contributes in generosity, the one who leads with zeal, the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in affliction or tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints. And seek to show hospitality. Because we are the body of Christ, and that's what the body does. In Christ, we are the family of God. Christ, of course, is the head, and we are his body, and that's important to note the possessive pronoun there. Christ is the head, and we are Christ's body. We are his. We worship together, and we work together. We mourn together, and we rejoice together, because we're part of the family that's been born again. Part of the family whose love knows no end, for Jesus has saved us and made us his own. We're part of the family now. It's on its way home. When a brother or sister meet sorrow, we all feel his or her grief. When he or she has passed through the valley, we all feel relief. Together, important language in the hymn. Together in sunshine, together in rain, together in victory through his precious name. And then though some go before us, we will all meet again. Just inside that city as we enter in, there will be no more parting. With Jesus, we'll be together forever, God's family. Sometimes, brothers and sisters, we laugh together. Sometimes we cry. Sometimes we share together heartaches and sighs. Sometimes we dream together of how it will be when we all get to heaven, God's family. I don't know why you're here today. I got some pretty good guesses from earlier, and that probably covers most of us. But I know for a fact that brothers and sisters in Christ, believers who have been immersed in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins and for the gift of God's own Holy Spirit, wherever they may be, whether here at West Metro or scattered anywhere across the globe, we are the body of Christ. We're God's family. And so let's today and every day, let's be that family wherever it is that we find ourselves.